Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Cad Knapsack, along with my co-host for this adventure. Another edition of Force Center. With me is Joseph Scrimshaw for the special edition. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I love that through technology that we can record this in our pajamas. in separate houses, people. Separate houses.
I have blue silky pants.
And I still have NyQuil coursing through my veins.
So we have it gathered. Is your destiny.
It is. I will fulfill what you have started, NyQuil. So we are here for a special edition of Force Center, Joseph, because yesterday Team J.J. Abrams trolled us a bit, as our friend Chris Taylor said in his excellent article on Mashable. We've been trolled a little bit by JJ and a international trailer for The Force Awakens, mind you, the same movie that JJ said, you will not see anything else of this until the movie comes out.
Yeah, he said there won't be another trailer, right?
Right.
So this is technically not another trailer, it's the Japanese version.
Right. You'll find that many of the truths you cling to
are lies from J.J. Abrams.
Lies from Mystery Box Abrams. So instead of, for those listening, this is not so much a breakdown and reaction to the trailer. We've been there, done that. We've had our emotions swept away in the tidal wave of Force Awakens marketing. This is kind of just a reaction to the trailer itself. We'll certainly get into some breakdown on some of the stuff we thought, but I don't want to classify this to anyone listening. I don't want to lie. This is not a beat-by-beat breakdown. This is Force Center looks at this trailer and everything around it and why we got it. And Joseph, I want to start with you telling me your thoughts on having to click the play button. Now, no one had a lightsaber to our head like Ren to Rey, but we kind of felt we had to, but we didn't know what we were getting into.
Yeah, this has been part of my journey in this last year, meeting you, going on Jedi Alliance and co-hosting Jedi Alliance now and now doing Force Center with you, where we are very much on the same page of we don't want much information at all, but now I kind of feel a responsibility that I have to click it.
Right.
So as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, I have to click it for myself. But then I watched it, and I was shocked at the amount of new footage and the amount of new information that's going to fuel the fire of speculation.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had this other level choice of, well, I'm going to tweet about this. And then I on purpose went and got, like, a shot of BB-8 that everybody else had already seen and included that on tweets so it didn't include shots from the trailer,
right,
in case other people didn't want it. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised by the number of news outlets, I guess not surprised, accepting of the world we live in, that even if I had decided not to click on it, I would have seen one of the biggest shots, which is Kylo Ren's tri-saber to Rey's neck.
Yeah, which was everywhere. I mean, that...
Which was...
Yeah.
Everywhere. No choice.
My friend Jeremy Johns over there in his YouTube movie review channel, he said, gee, all I see on my YouTube feed is pictures of Kylo Ren holding a lightsaber to Rey. Good job. And with the consistency internet. just everyone putting that out there. This trailer had some great shots, but I, like you, I will admit I pressed the play button by my own will, my own free will doing. But I wish the moment I started, I wanted to press pause. I didn't, but I had just woken up, and there's so much new stuff. I thought when I heard international trailer, I thought, oh, they're going to have a reverse angle on the Poe and Finn scene.
Yeah.
I did not know it would be an entirely, I mean, it's 60% new stuff.
Yeah, important new stuff. Like, I mean, there's like just the shot of Leia and like, oh, it's cool to see Leia in a different context. But like really some stuff that fuels the fire of speculation.
And I want to start really diving in with that, Joseph. I kind of agree with your theory we were discussing off air that maybe, and much like Chris Taylor started his article with on Mashable, we've been trolled by JJ a little bit. Maybe this trailer or this cut, which I contend is an awkwardly cut trailer, though it has some beautiful moments, that maybe JJ's reacting to the fervor of speculation on the internet, right?
Yeah. I feel like in particular the fact that we saw very similar scenes of Rey and Kylo Ren with slightly additional dialogue, which seemed to confirm some suspicions about parentage. and that was actually the very first tweet I saw when I rolled out of bed was a fan tweeting to me of like, looks like our suspicions have been confirmed.
All because of the word destiny?
I think for Kylo, it is that line of, yeah, our destiny.
Right.
Which to me, I take that as, oh, sure, he could be Darth Vader's grandson via Luke or Leia, or he could just mean as a Sith or as a practitioner of the dark side.
Right. Absolutely. Or like you and I discussed, just say simply a fanboy of the dark side.
Right.
You know, there's some people so close to the people they follow and love, you know, whether it be Schmoes No World, for example, the people of Schmoville. There's some, it's a we, not a you and
right.
I.
Right. So, and that's like a normal sports thing, too. Like when your football team wins, you say, we won. That doesn't mean like, I am the grandson of the quarterback, lost in time. But I feel like that in particular is a little twisty J.J. Abrams thing of like almost the identical scene, almost the identical information, but literally one word that changes it to the point where people who strongly believe that Kylo Ren is a Skywalker or of the Skywalker lineage, that they can take that one word as confirmation and keep everybody talking.
Right. And this trailer was very much Rey focused. which is very cool. I think it's great if Ray and Daisy Ridley's getting a chance to lead this movie in a certain sense. Obviously, Finn and Kylo and Poe are key. But this trailer was very much her and BB-8. And so that leads to more people going, she must be a solo Skywalker solo. She must be this. And again, I think this was a choice. You know, folks, you can edit these trailers in a day. It's not like this was done before. You certainly can lock stuff in. But to me, again, with Ray, it's just kind of JJ moving the pieces board. And again, he's not the only one. He doesn't just release these on his own. There's obviously a machine behind this. But JJ's proven to in the past and with Force Awakens that he's paying attention to what's out there on the internet. He knows what we're saying. I'm not saying he's listening to Force Center. I'd be honored if he were. But talk to me about that, Joseph, what you felt about the Rey angle in this and maybe if that being a reaction.
I feel like that is the actual biggest piece of sort of information or speculation bait when she is chatting with BB-8, which I'll get back to because I love BB-8 in this trailer, that she says that she is waiting for her family.
Right.
That's one of those things of like those great moments where I step back where like I almost screamed at my computer of like, what? You can't say that. That means this. That means that. That means this. And then I imagine just like, as you and I have talked about, a normal human being who's like, I like lightsabers and the space battles. And like, it's nothing to them. But to me, it was like, what? You can't say that. You can't just drop that.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah. It's just so much. It's just like, no, that's the money shot. And obviously it's not. It's just we're spending so much time speculating, and particularly about the lineage of these new heroes.
Right.
But for me, I want Rey to be Luke's child.
Mm-hmm.
I want Rey to be Luke Skywalker's somehow lost kid.
Right.
And I want people to be specifically looking for her because they know that she is very powerful, most likely in the light side of the Force.
Right.
And they're looking for Luke. They're looking for hope in the dark galaxy. So the waiting for my family, to me seems like, yes, she's gotta be a Skywalker or a Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, if she's not, it's still a really interesting sort of connection to a lot of the themes of Star Wars that it seems like a little bit of a subversion of a lot of various Star Wars themes where people kind of can't wait to get away from their family. Like Luke wants to leave Tatooine.
Yeah.
And if this Rey of like, I'm sitting on a crappy desert planet waiting for my family to come find me.
Yeah. Just to talk about the character of Rey herself and what we know so far, I'm very intrigued. Yeah, it is a Star Wars trope and a hero and myth journey trope to have the hero or the heroine, if you will, just in Modesto or on Tatooine or anything like that. And so I kind of love, I'm intrigued already of how did she end up on this wayward outer rim planet of Jakku and which was the place of a big battle, which we're going to find out in the downloadable content of Battlefront released December 1st on PS4 and Xbox. I'm already intrigued by this character so much that if in the end JJ's doing a big fade left and she's not related to anybody, I still think this is a great character. I agree with you, Joseph. We have a great lead here.
Yeah. And she's just in this trailer, we even got to see more of her. And I feel like she is just very likable.
Yeah. And Daisy Ridley herself, talk about being launched into the stratosphere of stardom, plucked from obscurity. She's winning it in these interviews. She's got a great British charm to her. And I just so far, so good on what she's done. We got a whole movie to see if she can deliver. And that's a lot of pressure on her. But I think they've done a great job with this casting.
Yeah. And just to go back to a second, you were talking about like sort of the being intrigued by filling in the mystery of what is, you know, if she is a Skywalker or Solo, how did she end up on Jakku and all that? And I have been thinking a lot about like, how are they going to fill in those gaps and keep the story moving forward? Mm-hmm. But lately I'm starting to think they might not fill in those gaps much at all because that means more expanded universe content that we're hungry for.
We've got the journey to The Force Awakens. Now we're going to get the journey from The Force Awakens.
Yes, exactly. The backward, your reverse shot that you were talking about. Yeah. In an imaginary world where she is Luke's kid, I can see them saying, you know, Luke having an awkward conversation with like a Poe Dameron or Finn saying, you know, there were troubles with her mother. I don't want to talk about it. And then everybody just goes, ooh, what was it? And then we get to see that in some other media.
In Marvel's new book, Skywalker versus Skywalker, a divorce tale. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mom absolutely. Problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk BB-8. BB-8, wow, a lot of stuff in this trailer of BB-8, including dialogue.
Yeah, that Rey totally understands.
Right. I think she has a babble fish in her ear from Hitchhikers.
Yeah, because I watched that twice, and I was more than twice, but, you know, I was so blown away by the For My Family that it took me a second viewing to be like, oh, she's answering his casual first date chat. So where are you from? What you doing here? Oh, what you waiting for? My family.
How'd you get to Jakku? Yeah.
It's going to be in the expanded fiction.
Maybe BB-8 is our exposition droid.
He's the Rick Oli of the Force Awakens. Yeah.
There's Coruscant. We're going to land here.
Whole planet's a city. It was strange how much BB-8 there was. But I liked hearing his voice. Again, like Ben Burtt, the sort of absolute hero of the Star Wars universe in many ways. That it sounds like an absolutely perfect noise for BB-8. We've heard a little bit of it before, but I'm really impressed by how sort of squeaky, high-pitched, gibberishy it sounds without being annoying.
Excellent point. That's what I was going to say, because, you know, when we hear some of these voices, Kylo Ren's voice I'm okay with. It's not my favorite, but I've grown to like it. I now accept it. I haven't heard Phasma yet. I don't know if you have. And so
no.
And it's big. And putting ourselves into the Star Wars nerd bubble, there's more serious problems in the world, but we're going to talk droid voices now. I absolutely agree with you, because now you say I still look at BB-8 and think girl. I think that's now more of a rumor than it is confirmed by some stuff Kathleen Kennedy had said.
I am only saying he because I am being a jerk.
well,
and falling into the default that anything that is not gendered is automatically a he, which is why I think it is great that BB-8 is being specifically gendered as a girl, and I hope that gets into the forefront.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off. I'd heard that as. I accepted it as fact, and then even referring to our friend Chris Taylor's article, he had linked to it being kind of a rumor that she's or BB-8 is gendered as female. But this, to me, why I bring it up is the voice. It sounded, our frame of reference is R2, of course, and there seems to be a little bit of a difference where I could BB-8. There's a lilt to that voice, and you're absolutely right. It was not annoying. It was actually very it made sense to me.
And it was friendly and chatty, yeah.
Yeah, 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 and that's good. And then this trailer, if Rey is the star of this trailer, it is almost as if this trailer was told from the point of view of BB-8.
Yeah, yeah. And you were talking about how it was cut awkward, and I agree, but I wonder how much it is cut for a Japanese audience's perception and sense of style and taste. And I don't know if putting BB-8 so forward is a little bit of, you know, he seems like an aesthetic that Japanese pop culture would really like. He seems like something from anime. He seems like he could be a friend of Hello Kitty just from design.
I'm convinced that Japanese households already have BB-8 serving them food and drink. they're so far more advanced in robotics than our households, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right. And when I say it's cut awkward, I'm focusing specifically on some of the dialogue. Maybe because if we hadn't seen the first version, we wouldn't know that Han's speech is cut up or that Kylo Ren's got some words added in. So maybe that's why it came off as awkward to me. But the story of the trailer seemed a little bit less fluid than the one set up in the first trailer.
I agree. It almost seems more like a marketing trailer of, we think that you will really like these things purchase-wise, so we'll make sure that you see those things.
Right. And BB-8 definitely, I still think BB-8 right now is the early star of the movie.
Absolutely, she is.
Absolutely. Let's talk. I want to talk some shots. And again, I don't want to do a frame by frame breakdown, but just kind of the overview. There were some beautiful shots in this trailer. And then there was one that a couple shots, I will say, that I'm totally getting into the nerd bubble where I was like, huh, and scared me a little bit. But for you, Joseph, what were some of the shots that stood out as gorgeous and beautiful? And
well, I think
that's a leading question.
Yeah, no, I think I know where you're going. And the shot of the TIE fighters and against the sun, obviously
the Apocalypse Now shot, beautiful.
The Apocalypse Now shot, and I've seen Apocalypse Now, but it's years ago, and it didn't for me immediately register the way it did for the vast majority of the world,
right?
And certainly, you know, hardcore film fans. I'm a hardcore film fan, but I'm obsessive, so I watch the same movies that I like again and again, like a weirdo.
Me too.
You know, and I felt like it was a beautiful shot by itself.
Yeah.
But I could see how, if you immediately just think Apocalypse Now, that it would really take you out of the moment of Star Wars and be a little bit worrisome that the film is going to be too covered in cute nods to things.
Could be. I mean, I certainly didn't have the reaction to that shot. I've seen Apocalypse Now twice in my life, I believe, and I'm like you. I watch if there was an ode to Spice World in this trailer, I would have picked it up before the Apocalypse Now. But for me, I was okay with it being a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But it was a very lived-in shot for me. We've seen, like on Clone Wars and Rebels particularly, Rebels takes place a lot on a planet, Lothal. And so you'll have things where TIE fighters are flying down on the ground and there's mm-hmm. battles happening and they're animated shots. And I've had this thought where I'm like, well, that's stuff we've never really seen in the movies, whether it be the limitations of making a movie in the late 70s and early 80s with models or the prequels. But this shot, I was like, that's a lived-in world to me. That's what it would look like if TIE fighters were flying at you on a planet surface. So right. I like the shot in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. And I love seeing the shot of the moisture evaporators in the sunset. You know, I was happy that it was just one set, one sun. It appears to be just one sun on Jakku, although we've seen other things that talk about Star Wars bubble. I have seen online fights about whether Jakku has one, two, or three suns.
Well, it definitely looks as though it has Jawas, right?
Yeah.
Those were just, I mean, I did not, I only have pressed pause to look at a frame in this trailer once, and it was not the shot of the Jakku sunset. But it sounded like Jawas even to me, which is, again, a nod and a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but I liked that. It makes sense to me.
I also like that, I like that Jakku is similar to Tatooine, because, you know, you and I have talked a lot about just the need to expand this galaxy. If it's going to be this expanded, it's going to have to start having more real world sort of rules or ideas put into place.
Right.
And I like it if there are desert planets, this is how they function. You need moisture evaporators because there's not enough moisture.
Right.
Or if Jawas are the kind of creatures that function well just sort of in their biology on a desert planet, great, they should be on Jakku too, and they're scavengers, and this is a planet where things get scavenged. So
yeah,
I really like that. I'm super happy, at least so far from what we've seen, of not beginning again on Tatooine, because I think it makes the galaxy too small. But I like that Jakku is similar.
Absolutely. And going back to the first teaser and the shot of Finn popping up, what we all assumed it then was Tatooine. When I first heard at Star Wars Celebration that it was Jakku, and that was during the release of Battlefront or the Battlefront panel, I had a little bit of a, oh, come on, just put it on Tatooine. But yeah, you're right. I've come to agree that Jakku, whether it's a similar, maybe it's a planet over from Tatooine, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'd like that there's more worlds in the movies and not in some comic book page where I'm like, well, this just seems like a weird thing that I don't know Lucas would ever put in Star Wars. You know, this is a planet full of fighting rabbits. So I'm excited for that. And I now have zero issue with this planet being named Jakku and not Tatooine. And I'm fine with it having some sand dunes as well. I got to think there's one more planet in the galaxy that looks like a beach. I think we're all right.
And unless we're going back to the moon of Endor, there's some more forests, you know.
There's some more forest.
There's another ice planet, unless that's Hoth too. So.
that one hasn't been named either, but it certainly doesn't. But it looks different. It doesn't look like Hoth to me.
It looks rockier.
Yeah. which could easily have been the other side of Hoth. Here we are in the nerd bubble. But let me tell you about the surfaces of Hoth. If there's a Wampa, we might have problems. There's some beautiful shots, and I'll get into the ones, and again, I'm being nitpicky. I gotta say, and I had this conversation with Josh Tapia, Mr. Hashtag Ghost Sit himself over at Schmoes and Owen Screen Junkies. We watched that trailer came out that morning. We drove into work together. The one shot I had the biggest issue with, nerd bubble, here we come.
All right.
Is the Kylo Ren putting the lightsaber to Daisy Ridley? It looked out of place from everything else we've seen. Her eyes almost go comically, bulge, like,
wing.
Yeah. And the saber looked, I mean, again, maybe the effects aren't completely finished. They still got time to work on it. I get it. But that was the one I had the biggest problem with.
Okay, so just from a technical angle, not even the narrative giveaway.
Not even the narrative. It looked different. The blade, up until then, I'm all in on Kylo Ren. I now have three or four separate Kylo Ren figures and coffee mugs and T-shirts. I'm all in on Kylo Ren. And that was even before I heard the voice that I think is a B-plus voice. I'm all in on it. This was just – and it's not even Kylo Ren or the lightsaber itself. There was just something different about that moment. And again, we're in the nerd bubble, folks. This is a tiny second in a 2.5 hour movie maybe. But JTE and I had the same reaction where it was different than anything else we've seen, and it almost looked out of place.
Even the angle of the shot, I guess, was a little bit different.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things that I've liked about this trailer, having to have seen it, mm-hmm. not wanting to, is the jaggedness of Kylo Ren's lightsaber seems sort of confirmed because we're seeing it in so many different shots. We have a totally different shot of it igniting.
Yes.
At least in this cut of the trailer, it doesn't even quite make the proper
sound.
Lightsaber sound.
Yeah.
Certainly not, in the prequels, they really amped up how nasty a Sith blade sounds.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have that sound. It sounds a little bit weaker. And just narratively, if he is a fanboy who wants to be like a real Sith, and doesn't have the right tools to make a real lightsaber and has basically, a janky MacGyver lightsaber, I really, really like that. So I like that element of it.
That I'm okay with, I will say, and you're right. They very clearly, there's a lot of shots of the blade in this one, and you've read it completely right. I think it's not a perfected blade. That I don't have a problem with.
Yeah,
like that.
But I wonder if that contributes to kind of how awkward that shot looks, because those sort of perspective shots of lightsabers are always, weird, or at least have the potential to be weird, depending on kind of how they angle it.
Yeah. And it could very well be. And look, man, I'm in the way back of the comic book shop right now with this discussion. I get it, but it might have been. It was the glow, all the other things. When the lightsabers put to Luke's face in Empire, you almost see the pointed edge. And again, technology has changed. I get it, folks. There was just something. It just was a weird moment. It was like I was watching Roger Rabbit for a second, and Daisy Ridley's eyes went ga-ga-ga. Like it just took me out of it for a second. And I've watched it about 10 times. I'll probably watch it 11 right after this. So there was that, and how do I explain this without losing some fans? There were some of the shots that we've seen over and over again that of the First Order Stormtroopers, the Captain Phasma, the Burning, which is another Ode to Apocalypse now, that seemed almost too crisp and clear. Oh, God, I sound so bad, Joseph. Help me through this.
It's okay.
They almost seemed too crisp and clear that it just seemed like a set. I don't know.
It seemed like a set. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And again, I know there's not a real planet called Jakku. They were burning. I get it. I had this brief uh-oh moment that they've made a fan film.
I see what you're saying. Maybe it looks like troops.
Yes. Yes. And maybe I need you to hold my hand and talk me down, Joe.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, I think so. I think that maybe what has happened is in your attempt to block out the narrative reveals, you're focusing on the quality of the shots.
Yes.
And I'm so busy thinking about the narrative, I'm not looking at the quality of the shots, and you're pointing out things to me that I'm sure I'll see when I look for them now. But I feel like, yeah, it's a trailer, and maybe a rush trailer. Maybe a trailer that is designed totally to market it to the specific market of Japan.
Yeah.
Maybe a trailer that has the double edge of, like, let's mess with fans a little bit and point them in different directions. I think it's, you know, I don't think that we can judge the final quality of the film.
Okay. You're an excellent therapist. You've got me through that moment. I'm going to rewatch it again. I mean, what's funny is it's the same stuff that in the first two teasers, the shots of the stormtroopers and Phasma, that I flipped over and loved.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it was a psychological reaction to, what am I watching? No, don't show me more, JJ. Don't. Oh, that looks like troops. It might have been that. I'm so off base. I'm glad you talked to me. But you keep talking about the narrative, so let's get into that discussion. I'm talking about the technical problems I might have had with the trailer. Narrative stuff. Where are you worried, or where are you happy?
I didn't want that shot of Rey and Kylo Ren, because, like we've talked about, those are those touchstone points where you're watching the movie, you're enjoying it, and then your mind goes, but I know he's got to hold the lightsaber to her throat, and then your mind starts extrapolating instead of watching, and you go like, oh, well, they're flying to that woods planet for sure now, because that's got to be the next beat.
Right.
And I don't like that. I don't want to be able to connect the dots. And I feel like we have more than enough dots. And that was a huge new dot.
That was a giant dot on the map of the story map. It was like when we had the 15-second Instagram shot of Boyega with the lightsaber.
Yep, that was another dot, and I've come to accept this one. And now, right. You know, I'm hoping they're in the same place, but it doesn't look dark. It doesn't look snowy. It looks like there are trees, but it's light and during the day. And
we've seen her with, I almost don't want to connect the dots even for myself or those listening, but we've seen her in that section of the forest a couple times now in different trailers and even the Instagram release. So now there's a whole moment, and you're right. Now I am a little worried too, where I'll be watching it going, oh, it's that scene.
Yeah. And I just,
yeah,
I really want them to stay to the first act, like they've been saying. And I feel like the last official trailer, and certainly this one, we're getting snippets from stuff that's second, third act stuff.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
And I almost feel like it's a negotiation of sort of like, it's not a negotiation. I sound insane.
No, you're in the bubble.
A compromise between the need to market the film to people who are not diehard fans, and the need to super excite the diehard fans, so we will buy tickets to three different showings in the opening weekend, like I have.
I have too.
But I feel like I feel like the sort of unspoken agreement, which is ridiculous because J.J. Abrams and Lucasfilm have more power than me Skyping in my blue silky pants in my home. So it's not a negotiation, but I'm going to call it that.
Yeah.
The trade-off was you show us just the first act and we will go, okay, tell us basically the entire first act, which I think we mostly know.
Yeah.
Like we can put together the entire first act.
The
trade-off was like, okay, we'll go with that. We'll embrace that. Please don't show us much from the second and third act.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. By now, with the Vanity Fair pictures and all the teasers, I know how Rey finds BB-8 and who BB-8 belongs to and all that kind of stuff. You're right. Yeah, you're right. I think so. Again, the Ren and Rey shot, I could have assumed that they were going to meet, but now I know, and that definitely affected me a little bit. There were some other – you know, I'll tell you the one other shot I'm a little I think it's a jump cut, so I don't think it's something we're actually going to see in the movie. But
oh right, yeah.
The Chewie stuff is, I love that shot. Like that was a great shot of Chewie. It's a very lived in Chewie. Awesome. Yeah. So happy for Peter Mayhew to at least put on the mask, whether he's standing or not. In some of the shots, but that push in cut on his hand pressing the detonator. I don't know. I didn't react well to that.
Was it the quality of the film as well, or was it just sort of like, I don't need to see Wookiee fingers?
It was the Wookiee fingers. You know what? I don't think we've ever seen Wookiee fingers.
I don't think we have either. The internet seemed to celebrate Wookiee fingers. It didn't quite hashtag. It should have trended.
It should have
hashtag
trended.
Wookiee fingers.
If you're listening now on Force Center, hashtag Force Center Pod, hashtag Wookiee fingers.
Wookiee fingers.
Yeah, it was a weird shot because it went from me going, awesome, Chewie, to what? Is that a glove? So there was some weird stuff there. Poor JJ. Poor JJ. He is, oh my God. I'm just being overwhelmed by the pressure that man's probably feeling right now because of people like you and I.
Yeah, well, here's my take on Wookiee fingers is in a little bit with your quality, your concerns about quality is so far we have seen the dramatic shots. The shots that connect us to destiny, the shots that remind us of Luke staring out at that sunset.
Right.
And we're going to get in the movie the super close-ups of things like Wookiee fingers that remind us this is a movie about space wizards with laser swords. And it's a zoom in on that truth of like, oh yeah, this whole world is weird. And the trailers have been focused on the epic and the destiny and the things that make Star Wars really resonate with us deeply. But then that's what's great about Star Wars is there are those levels. It resonates with us deeply. But then also, you know, we make fun of Rick O'Lee and we, you know, there's a cantina full of just like weirdos. And, you know, we just accepted that there's a character named Yak Face because his face looks like a yak.
Right.
And all of that weirdness. And I feel like as fans, we do have to prepare ourselves for it. If it is truly a Star Wars movie, it's not always going to feel epic and serious and adult. It's going to be just bonkers.
Right. And that's and this is why I call you the great Star Wars pontificator. You're able to cut to some of those cores and talk me off ledges. You're absolutely right. I mean, some of the shots in the Vanity Fair stuff of Maz Kanata's lair, they're pretty wild and wacky, and it's like a new cantina Jabba's Palace kind of set. And you're right.
Yeah.
There's some stuff in there I was laughing at, but in a good way. Now, look at that figure we're going to get. So you're absolutely right. And that was the biggest the difference between these two trailers is the first one, the what we're calling the official and last trailer, was epic. The one without dialogue. One without dialogue was almost like an orchestra playing a song, and it was this epic, and the force is calling to you. And you're right,
yeah,
this one, not so much. It was maybe like a karaoke concert there, someone singing. and they're going to have to coincide and live together.
Yeah, yeah. And that last line in this trailer, I don't know if you wanted to talk about that.
That's exactly where I wanted to go to next.
Yes. Yeah, we assume that's still Maz Kanata.
Mm.
Talking, and has the hope is not lost today, it is found.
Yeah.
And that was also, like, for me, narratively, like, it was just sort of putting the cherry on the ice cream I had already imagined, and now there was actually the cherry being put on it.
Yes.
Of Rey's character being the figure of destiny and hope.
Destiny and hope, and that maybe, you know, if it's Maz Kanata, I've heard some of the stuff in the first trailer that part of it was Leia, or some of it was Leia, which still to me didn't sound like Carrie Fisher.
No, I don't think it is. I ran that one down because that's what we had said on Jedi Alliance, because we had read a report from Disney.
Yeah.
And I took a much closer look at the Disney blog, and the thing with that is that it's just written really poorly.
Gotcha.
So it creates confusion because it starts at the beginning of the article saying, Maz Kanata says X.
Yeah.
And then it keeps just referring to her as she instead of using her proper name. So there's a sentence that, like, we see a close-up of Leia, she says. And that she is still referring to Maz Kanata, but in the context of the writing, it sounds like Leia.
What a good Star Wars reporter you are, Joseph Scrisha, for digging that up. All right, so let's run with that then. So it's Maz Kanata. Yeah, I had that different dialogue there, whereas, like, the different cut of Han's dialogue made no difference to the narrative. And instead of talking about the dark side and Jedi's, it's all true. He just says the Force, it's all true. And that's still a good Han Solo moment, going back to New Hope, where he was to where he is now. But yeah, there was a little bit of, again, creating, I'll go back to the Phantom Menace trailer. I now have a story in my mind for Force Awakens that could be completely wrong, which could benefit Team JJ or could hurt Team JJ. But that line, the hope is not lost, the shot they used, which was the Daisy Ridley over the mysterious body, it's making me think some bad things are going to happen, but don't worry. And if, again, we could have assumed this is a Star Wars story, this was going to happen. But it starts going specifics in my brain, and that's where at the end of the day, I was like, oh, I could have lived without this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I think I know.
Yeah. I think also the it forms a weird relationship with the American last trailer. In that, you know, we talked about it. It's really – that one is really designed to remind you that our characters will be in crisis. You know, we see worry, we see conflict, we see crying. The music is darker and heavier. And even though this Japanese one is cut weird, it uses much more of the hopeful binary sunset theme.
Right.
So the music's lighter, and it literally ends on a note of hope.
Right.
So it feels also like a weird sort of companion piece of, like, I like that, you know, the last trailer we saw was, it's not just all going to be sort of like, reminds you of your childhood, we're home, it's going to be conflict and anger. And this one sort of, it hinted at the conflict and anger, but it put a little much more, using that theme, having more Rey, ending with basically a character telling Rey that she is hope, is much, much more hopeful, optimistic trailer.
Right. I agree with that. Again, the Star Wars pontificator, Joseph Scrimshaw, really cuts to the core. I think you're right. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to see it again for the first time. Watch it again and maybe not worry how the stormtroopers look like they're cosplaying and how it looks like a Roger Rabbit scene. I'm going to watch it again from the narrative point of view. I think you're right. I think I went into shock and was watching it. It was like I was watching a car crash. I couldn't turn away. because it's a beautiful, fun car crash to watch. But it scared me. It scared JJ. You scared me.
I understand.
Now I'm worried. The more things are going to pop up, I'm going to be having my morning coffee. And here's a scene of Kylo Ren having breakfast with Palpatine. Like, what?
That's the thing, is we got 5 weeks. They revealed those character posters, which I thought was great.
Yes.
Because they were exciting, and there are tiny, tiny things for us to nitpick if we want to go fully into the Star Wars bubble, but nothing major. Yeah, and 5 weeks is making me nervous.
Yeah,
that we're gonna see more things like this.
Yeah, the trailer posters, which are great, or the trailer, yeah, the character posters are great. I actually really do like the Leia one. It looks great.
Yeah.
And that's one of the characters we had always wondered in the filming, like, is Carrie Fisher gonna, how's she gonna look now, and how's old Han and old Chewie, and I think all those concerns are way, way, way in the rearview mirror here now. Those just kind of popped up. This just kind of popped up. It's like I'm looking at the calendar and thinking, what other conventions are there going to be that I'm going to have to turn off my social media that weekend?
Yeah, this just kind of wasn't – I don't feel like this was on people's radar.
Yeah.
And it does feel tricksy that, like, well, there's not going to be another trailer. There's just going to be – it's a recut trailer.
You know, and I – you know, this is why I do – I actually am a fan of JJ. I think he's very savvy. He's very smart. Some of the stuff he's done to address spoilers and leaks throughout this process on Instagram with a shot of the board game, Millennium Falcon board game.
Oh yeah, the Djarik. Yeah,
yeah, all that kind of stuff. I think he's having a little John Harrison con fun, and it's good. I still have faith, and as we've broken this down, and we didn't. I actually, Poe Dameron, certainly in this trailer, still a mystery character to me.
Yeah, they've really, he was introduced as, you know, he's the third of this new team of heroes. He seems like the sort of the Han Solo, like he's got nothing going on. He's just a cool, roguish fighter. And now there's like, what? He's clearly got something, some kind of relationship with Ren, some kind of relationship with Finn.
Yeah,
and just kind of moved into the background marketing wise.
And other than the shots of him in the X-wing, there's clearly a shot of him in the command center, so to speak, with Leia and 3PO.
Yeah.
We see a shot of 3PO with that red arm. You're right. It was like the big three plus Kylo Ren. It was Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, plus Adam Driver is going to be the villain, and Poe and has moved to the background. And I wonder. Now I'm start. I didn't even after the last trailer, and so much speculation into that moment of Poe and Finn and the look they exchanged, and was it good? Was it bad?
Yeah.
I was to me, it was like, it's no question, it's good. But now there seems to be some mystery built into this character, because especially when we 100% know that now BB-8 was his droid, and how BB-8 ends up on Jakku meeting Rey and all this kind of stuff. Now and again, here I go putting the story together, but I left this trailer. This international trailer with a lot more mystery around Poe Dameron.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I got some ideas about just sort of logistically, how does BB-8 get down to Jakku, and you know, what is Finn reacting to when he is deciding that this life isn't for him.
Right.
But the actual character of Poe, nice and mysterious.
Which I say that in a good way. You're right. Nice and mysterious is a good way to phrase it. I'm glad. Now I have at least one thing going into this movie that I don't have answered.
Yeah. And it's weird that all of this speculation has managed to sort of move us into wanting to see this film to have questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about more as you and I are talking about it. And, you know, I might start to try to put those questions out of my mind and try to live in the moment, because, you know, the movie shouldn't be in a bunch of answers to questions.
Right.
It should be a story.
It should unfold.
Yeah.
And I think it will. And to be clear to those listening, we appreciate you diving in. This is the Age of Star Wars discussion media, and Joseph and I have rolled up our sleeves and jumped into the bog to have fun with it, because this is what our whole entire lives have led to, this moment, is having shows to talk about new Star Wars movies. But to be clear, folks, if I'm sounding down on some of this, it was probably shock. It still is some of the stuff. I'm still looking at it with one cocked eyebrow, but I still am so excited. I've obtained and procured midnight tickets. They came late. I've got them, and I'm going to be there, and JJ still has my heart.
Nice. Midnight tickets, Wednesday midnight into Thursday?
Thursday into Friday midnight.
Thursday into Friday. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I am, and I don't know how, as we close the show here, Joseph, maybe we can talk about social media strategy. I'm literally intending to. I might delete Twitter and Facebook from my phone, iPad, and computer from Wednesday or maybe even Tuesday of that week through Sunday.
Yeah, well, stay off Elo and Google Plus while you're at it, just in case.
I'm just going to go back to how I was in 1999, where I had to wait till Premiere Magazine came out with a review 2 weeks later.
Here's the thing that you might know that I don't know. I don't know where press screenings stand right now. Are they happening? How many?
I can tell you what I have heard, and there's nothing confirmed on my end, but I have heard from the offices over at Defy Media and Screen Junkies that there are not going to be press screenings.
And I think that is the right move for Disney Lucasfilm.
Yep. The thought being, well, number one, we don't need the press.
Right.
Two, we don't want negative reviews should they be. And so, oh, hey, don't worry, guys, this is prequels all over. And three, maybe number one, most important, spoilers. They just don't want them.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want the risk. That's way too many people to control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if the press screenings aren't happening, I'm thinking that I'm feeling okay with social media, because that would be the thing that I'm concerned about. If people were seeing the press screenings on Wednesday, that things started to trickle out. Even like headlines of reviews could spoil things for me. Yeah. But I have 7:30 tickets. And it was important to me, not necessarily that I was seen at first. I just want to be able to walk through a lobby that is not full of people who have seen it, because I know those people can't control themselves.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And will speak loudly.
You're so right, Joseph, because I was so busy working that night, I couldn't obtain tickets the Monday the trailer hit and the tickets went on sale. But I got some on Saturday. That's going to be for – I have five. I'm taking bids on my friends who want to see it again. And then I, through my wonderful friend and his fiance Matt Key and Brittany Wallach, I now have Friday night tickets. And that was going to be my first viewing, but it was a 3D viewing. And number one, I just get physically sick watching 3D movies. So I was a little worried. I did not want my first experience to be barfing at the Millennium Falcon flying.
There has been an awakening.
There has been a rumbling. So, but I thought I was going to accept it. And Matt and Brittany are two of my favorite people. So what a moment I was going to have. Well, my friend Dan Merle over Screen Junkies is like, dude, they're still selling tickets at Arclight Hollywood. They still have them. They're smaller and they're the 2D viewings. So I did find, it's the midnight showing Thursday into Friday. And I had the tickets purchased. And then I thought, well, I'm worried about walking through the lobby, and it's like the Simpsons episode where Homer spoils Empire for everybody in line. And I'm like, I don't want to experience that. So I started looking for earlier showings, and there were some seats and tickets, but it was 3D and literally first row looking up. And I'm like, well, I'm going to projectile vomit if that's the case. So I stuck with the midnight, and I am seriously worried. I'm thinking of buying some kind of earplugs. Wearing a placard that says "No spoilers, please." I'm totally, totally worried about some jack off in the lobby going, "Kylo Ren is Plagueis." You know, I'm worried.
I think if they were smart, they would sell Lobot ears that you could buy at the door, clamp on over your ears.
Absolutely.
So I feel like, if anything that fans could do for one another, it's just in those few brief hours to just, you know, have like a almost like a rule, like smoking distance. Like you need to be 10 feet away from the building at a minimum before you start talking out loud about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Get into the safety of your car before you yell anything. And so that is that. at the end of the day, is my biggest worry is can I get through the lobby, and I'm going to buy some Joseph Scrimshaw approved sad Lobot ears. That's what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
Well, Joseph, here on this Saturday morning is record. Thank you for putting on your blue silk pajamas and joining us for our show here, man. Force Center, we're still, again, to those who are tweeting. I know saw some tweets this week about, hey, Force Center, react. Come on. We love you. Been a busy week for both Joseph and I, and like we said, we kind of started Force Center as a lark, as something we were going to build to, and then the trailer came out, and we kind of had to jump into the fray maybe a little earlier than our schedules were permitting. So for those listening, we thank you for finding us and staying with us, and a lot more stuff to come. And I know, Joseph, you're working on your own show, too, that we're going to be having on here.
Yeah. I got some good suggestions, and they sort of dovetailed nicely with my ideas. So it's going to be both informative and weird.
Which is the core of Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Epic, informative, and weird. Yeah. So that is another edition of Force Center for Joseph Scrimshaw. You can follow at Joseph Scrimshaw. Joseph, what else do you got coming up here that our fine fans need to know about?
I got some shows coming up in Los Angeles. I got my show Comedy Dreamtime is on Friday, November 20th this month at 9 p.m. at the Nerdist School stage. Jeremy Carter from the great podcast Super Ego asked me to write a sketch where he gets to play Indiana Jones. So that seems like something Star Wars fans might have a tangential interest in. So you can check that out at info about that is on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
That's right. And you, of course, could follow me at Catnapsock. If you're in town locally this Tuesday, I got a big charity show I'm hosting for Operation Gratitude at Flappers in Burbank as we pay tribute to the great organization that sends care packages to the troops. And interviewing Tom Connolly, who walked from L.A. to Connecticut for Operation Gratitude, talking about his story. So if you're in L.A., that's this Tuesday, November 10th at Flappers in Burbank. And, of course, hashtag Force Center Pod. If you have any direct questions for Joseph and I, you can follow us at Force Center Pod. And as always, Spotlight Star Wars will be a little bit later in the week because I wanted to record this reaction and pontification on the international trailer with Joseph. So Spotlight Star Wars will go on this week. Hashtag Spotlight Star Wars if you got any questions for me. Jennifer Landis show is coming soon. We're talking to her. You know, she's raising a young Padawan. That's the first and most important thing, but she's definitely got a great show ready for you guys coming soon. So for Joseph, for me, for Kylo Ren, Rey and Finn, and of course, our hero, BB-8, this has been Force Center on the Force Center podcast feed.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.